about the message. You know, whatever the man of God preached that day. And this particular day, the man of God preached on the end times and the second coming of Christ. And he had a young boy, and the young boy just full of questions. I mean, one question after another, he fired to his father. And his father just got to where he didn't know what else to do. He said, "Son," he said, "nobody knows." He said, "I can't tell you everything there is to know about the end times. And I don't know everything there is to know about the second coming of Christ." He said, "Nobody really knows." He said, "But son, this is advice I give you." He said, "You need to live every day of your life like it's your last." He said, "Pop, last time I tried that, you grounded me for 30 days. So anyway, a lot of truth to that probably. All right. And so Hebrews chapter 11, we know this is the faith chapter in the Bible. Look at verse 24. Verse 24, the Word of God says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." And with the Lord's help tonight, I want to do my best to preach a message tonight on crossroads of decision. We're going to look at a man tonight that had to make some decisions, and we're going to look at that and let the Lord use that to help us along the way. And let's just pray to God and bless this. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this. God, this opportunity, Lord, to stand here. And God, Lord, you know, Lord, as well as I do, Lord, my ability, Lord, my lack of ability. And God, Lord, I've studied up, prayed up, cleaned up. God, I've done everything I know to do on my part, but God, if you don't show up, Lord, these people, God's house, are not going to get the help they need. And so I pray, God, that you just use me as your instrument. And God, Lord, when the service is done, Lord, I pray, God, they'd not see a man, but God, that they'd see the God of the man. And I pray, God, that they'd not focus, Lord, on the delivery of the message, but God, that the message, Lord, might tender their heart, and God, that they might get some spiritual help. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the title of this is Crossroads of Decision here. And, you know, you just think about it. When we're traveling, we're constantly coming up on different obstacles as we travel. We come up on times when the road will divide. You know, you may go from a two-lane road to a four-lane road or whatever. And in that, we got to make up our minds. We're going to take the high road or we're going to take the low road. We're going to take the fast lane or we're going to take the slow lane. Sometimes in life, we'll get to a place and we come to a fork of the road. That's obviously a decision has to be made, because you can't go straight, it's forked. You go left or you go right. This is a time of decision. Sometimes we'll come up on an intersection of life where you've got multiple choices. You can turn left or you can turn right, or if you choose to, you can stay on the same path that you've been on. Just keep going straight. You've got the option to turn around and go back if you want to. But the truth of the matter is, all of us, as we travel through life, are faced with, And this term comes to me, one of the ladies at the nursing home, Miss Donna, I can remember her months back saying she's in a valley of decision, is what she told me. And we've been praying for a long time. She's wanting to go home. She never did get to go home. She's been in and out of the hospital. But she was in what she called a valley of decision. And as me and you go through life, that's what's going to happen. Me and you are going to be faced with many valleys of decision. For young people, they have a lot. You know, they're young, they've not experienced life, and you know, they gotta decide what kind of friends they're gonna have and what kind of friends they're not gonna have. They gotta decide where they are going to school, what kind of occupation they wanna go into. Choosing a mate is one of the greatest decisions that they'll ever make. They'll be faced with that. But the biggest decision they'll make in life is whether they're gonna serve God or not. See, how many times do we see our young people come through the house of God, and we see them singing in the choir and active in the youth, and then they go off to college or go away from home, and now they're not serving God anymore. Why? Because they reached that crossroads of decision, and they made the wrong choice. And it's sad. It breaks my heart when I see that. I thank the Lord that all of our youngins don't do that. But we see that. They get out there and they get under the influence of the world, and then they forget all about God. And a lot of times what they do is they'll shipwreck their life and mess their life up a little bit. I'm glad that, listen, there's always a way back home. God always show them a way back. A lot of times they'll do that and they'll get scarred in life. For some of us that's older in life, we don't have quite the decisions they do. Because the truth of the matter is, most of us, when you get as old as I am, we've made most of our serious decisions in our life. But this is a time, as I preach this message tonight, that we need to look at the decisions that we've made in life and just evaluate it and see if we've made the right decisions or not. Hey, if we've made wrong decisions, if it's something that we can fix, we need to fix it. If we've made right decisions, then we don't need to compromise that. We need to stand on them. We don't need to back up or get lazy on God. We just need to stand on the right decisions that we've made for the Lord. And so the choice has been made. And there's many people in the Bible that made wise choices. And Joseph and Joshua and Elijah and Paul. And we look at these. But today we're looking, I want to look at this man, Moses. And he reached this time in his life where he came to a crossroads in his life where he had to make a decision here. And we see here by his choice, he's been known as a man of decision. He's known by other things too, a man of faith. But he's also known as a man of decision. And so, but for each one of us, as me and you travel through life, we're going to run up on them same kind of things. Where we're going to come to places in our life where we have to make decisions that we've never been here before. This is a new place in life. I mean, you think about the stages. I can remember when I first got married, you know, that was an adjustment. And then when we had kids, that was adjustment. And changing jobs. And I mean, that's the way life is. Life is full of decisions. And we must decide, you know, when we come to this, we got to decide. Are we going to choose the flesh? Are we going to choose things that are of the Spirit? Are we going to choose the things of God? Are we going to choose the things of Satan? Are we going to side ourselves with the people of the world? Or me and you going to side ourselves with God's people? These are choices we've got to make. And, you know, what kind of friends we're going to have and how to treat our family. But I'm afraid most of the time what we do, if we're not careful, we get lazy, we'll choose the path of least resistance. And that's how we get in trouble. We just want to take the easy way out sometimes. And, you know, it really doesn't matter when we go through life how successful we're going to be in the world. Or how much to work. The world will promise you a lot. The problem with that is the world can't deliver it. Not long term it can't. Oh, hey, the world make it look good for a little while. But long term it's not going to get the job done. And so, you know, choices have to be made. We have to make choices. And the thing is that anybody that doesn't decide, to side with God is siding against God. That's why Matthew 12:30 says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." And that's what the Word of God says. And so we look at this thing and we see that as we go through life, we've got a lot of choices to make. Choices of yes and choices of no. Choices of do's and choices of don'ts and the right things and the wrong things to do. And there's always two sides to every decision we make. We can go down the positive road or we can go down the negative road. The choice is ours. Even though we're born again saved and we're trying to walk with God, God still gives man the free will to make bad choices. And we see that in the Bible. And so here we know that Moses had made a negative decision, because we know that originally when God had a mission for him, he told God no. Take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4 right quick. Exodus chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse 10. And the Bible said, "Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with you. thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. You see here, the very fact that I look at this thing, and this man Moses, originally when God put this challenge on him, he immediately said no. He said, God, I'm not qualified for this. But can I tell you, that's what God's looking for. God's looking for that one that's humble. God doesn't need one that's got himself all exalted up and think he is somebody. Well, I tell you, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble like that. And I know that God's humbled me in my preaching. I'm telling you, I don't consider myself a great preacher, but boy, I can remember time. I had this message one time. I thought it was the biggest powerhouse that God ever gave me. And I wanted to preach it so bad, and I got an opportunity to preach. And God said, no, you can't preach it now, and I preached it anyway. You talking about botching up something God had laid out that was just right. It didn't work at all because I was preaching it in my will, and God taught me some things there. And so we've got to be careful about that. But the fact that he said no here shows me that he was struggling with temptation about rejecting doing what God wanted him to do. And we see this that, you know, he could have justified staying in the Pharaoh's house. Now, come on now. He became the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He was in high places. He could have had anything in life that he wanted. And he could have justified staying there, because when you look at his life, it'd be real easy for Moses to say, wait a minute, God put me here. He could have said that. When you look at the circumstances of how he wound up in the Pharaoh's house and how his mother got to nurse him in a couple of years when he was just little, and how God worked it all out for him to not be killed like a lot of the Hebrew babies, and for him to be growed up in the Pharaoh's house, he could say, God put me here and I'm not going nowhere. But see, the thing is, he said yes to what God wanted. He decided that he was going to give up all of that paradise, all of them riches that he had, that he would identify himself with God's people. That's what he decided to do. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. He refused to go one way so that he could go the other way. That's what he did. And so, you know, he could have continued living that good life if he wanted to. But you see, when we take something out of our lives, when we make a choice to take something out of our lives, we have to replace it with something else. See, it's not enough for us to quit the things that are wrong unless we replace them with the things that are right. Because let me tell you what the devil will do. The devil will fill that void in your life. You give up something and you don't replace it with something, the devil won't have any problem filling that in your life. Luke 11:24 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man and he walketh through dry places seeing rest and finding none, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he came and when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. And so, you know, we don't just stop, you know, serving things that are wrong. We start serving God. That's the choices that we make if God wants to use us. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Let you see this and we'll move on. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. The Bible says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, that is scripture that is explaining better than I can explain to you what I just tried to tell you. That we have to replace the evil with the good. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, and those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so we see here that, you know, you think about it. Making sometimes, and this is the hard thing. I know recently I preached a message on the men in the boat, you know, when Peter walked on water, how these men were in the will of God, yet they found themselves in the storm. You see, when me and you make choices, good choices for the Lord, sometimes that can be costly. But it's only costly for temporary. Hey, the long haul, it's not costly. In the life of Moses, listen, it cost him all the riches. He refused to be called the Pharaoh's daughter. He gave up the highest position in the eyes of man that he would ever have there, and he gave it all away, and so that he would do the things of God, and he wasn't interested in pleasing people. I'm afraid that parents all over the place, they got this thing all messed up. We seem to spend all of our time with our children trying to get them to be accepted by the world and be popular in the world, and in the process of doing that, they wind up being failures spiritually. I don't see that here in this church, but I tell you, listen, it seems like sports is more important than anything, or any other kind of talent that they have that they're not going to use for the Lord, but they're going to use it for themselves. And parents do everything they can to help them to succeed in that so that they'll be well known in life, but then spiritually what happens? They fail. And that's not a good thing. The Bible says in John, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Boy, there's nothing better than that. Hey, we want our children to be successful in life. You know, if my Josh, he's got this idea, I don't know if he'll do it or not, but my Josh, he's got this idea he's going to be a game warden. And he might do it. You know, he's going to plan on taking some criminal. But I want him to be a Christian game warden. And we can do that, you know. And we can be successful in life and still be faithful to God. And so we need to do that. But we don't want to fail on God. So Moses here, he's, can you imagine what kind of disappointment this decision had on the people that raised him and loved him? I mean, that Pharaoh's daughter, she had to be heartbroken when he decided to leave Egypt and go and side with the children of Israel. But that was his choice. He didn't choose the temporary lifestyle of sin that was only going to be temporary. He did that which, you know, he didn't do that that was going to satisfy the flesh. He made a decision that he was going to live his life in the then and not the now. And I'm conscious of that all the time. We ought to live our life in the then. What are you saying? We ought to be building up things and treasures in heaven. We ought to be living our life in a way that that'd be pleasing to God when we stand before Him. Not something that's going to satisfy us from now. Listen, everything that me and you are going to accomplish in this life, you know, material-wise, or in stature or fame or what people are going to think about us, it's all going to be worth nothing one day. It's all going to be burnt up. It's all going away. But the things that we build for God, they'll last for eternity. But bad choices in the Bible, bad choices have consequences too. I thought about Lot, how when Lot went down to Sodom, I mean, the fact that he even put his eyes down there and it looked good to him. The green plains of Sodom looked good to him, and he went down there, and the next thing you know, we find him hobnobbing with the people of Sodom. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, when the angels of the Lord came, they found him sitting at the front gate. I believe he's on the city council there. I believe he had a job there. We know he didn't have a testimony for the Lord, because when he went to his son-in-laws to inform them that God was going to burn Sodom down, that they had to flee so that they'd be spared, the Bible says they laughed at him. They said, what are you talking about, Lot? I'm paraphrasing. Hey, we never seen you read the Bible. We haven't seen you testify to nobody. You're down here hobnobbing with these people of Sodom, and you want us to think that you had this great encounter with God? Huh. They laughed at him. He didn't have a testimony. He made a bad choice. We know Samson made some bad choices. Terrible example Samson was. And it cost him his eyes, it cost him his strength, it eventually cost him his life. We know that Achan, because he made bad choices, the children of Israel was defeated in a battle that they should have been victorious in. 36 men lost their life, and then he wound up, him and his family had to be punished, and they were killed because of it, all because he made a bad decision. And we know that the children of Israel, they made a bad decision when they went to enter the promised land the first time. They should have took it. They should have listened to Joshua and Caleb. Because you know what the bad decision cost them? It cost them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And that whole generation died off while they were doing that. And then they had to come back, and God honored them with that. We know that David made some bad decisions, and it cost him the life of his son. We know that Solomon, King Solomon, made bad decisions by worshiping the gods of his multiple wives. He wasn't supposed to have multiple wives. That was one condition that God put on the kings of Israel. Is that God said, okay, I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you a king. You're going to find out when you get it, you ain't going to like it. But God said then, said the king was to have one wife. We know David didn't do that. We know Solomon moved it much up to another level. He started worshiping the gods of his wives. He made bad decisions. And it cost him. It cost him dearly. And so we see that. And so sometimes, the bad decisions are costly. But sometimes the good decisions are costly too. We know that Abraham answered the call of God. What it cost him? It cost him his home. You think that was easy? I guarantee you it wasn't easy for him to root up. We know that Job never failed to serve God and lost everything. We know that God blessed him on the end of that, but he lost everything. We know that the disciples that followed Jesus, they lost their occupation, and John the Baptist lost his head. A heavy price to pay for following Christ. But can I tell you right now, listen, if me and you was to step into heaven and get face to face with John, say, John, what do you think about it? John say, it's worth it all, is what he'd say. Because see, what he did, he was building something for heaven. He wasn't interested in that temporary life that was gonna mess him up. That's why the Bible says in John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so we see here that Moses, he didn't choose these treasures of Egypt. He gave up the wealth. And you say, how wealth there was it? Well, all you got to do is go over there and just look at a documentary on some of these tombs of some of these pharaohs. That'll give you an idea of the kind of wealth they had. I mean, there's a fortune in these tombs of these pharaohs of there. But listen, these choices, he didn't only decide to do something that was right, he decided that he was going to suffer. For the cause of Christ, he knew openly that he was going to have to go through some suffering. He's going to have to go through some hardship. And Job knew that he was going to have to go through some hardship. That's why the Bible said the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He was faithful. He continued to make good choices, and it cost him. But yet God continued to bless. God blessed him. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And so that's all about making choices. And so, you know, he came. How did this man Moses come to this decision to start out with? The Bible in Hebrews is plain how that happened. It happened because the Bible says by faith. By faith he made that choice. He put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He decided, I'm not going to just continue to enjoy the temporary things of life for a season, but I'm going to stand with God, and if it calls me to suffer, it calls me to suffer. And so we see the Bible says in 1 Peter 1, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Boy, them are encouraging words for the saints right there. Hey, it don't matter how much suffering we go through or what we've got to give up for Christ. Can I tell you, it will be worth it all one day if we make the right choices in life. And so we see here that, listen, he didn't go into this thing blindly. He understood what was right and what was wrong. He knew what the cost was going to be. And he did the right thing all the way. Hebrews 5:14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, and those who by reason of us have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This man, Moses, had spiritual discernment. He knew what was right and he knew what was wrong, and by faith it caused him to make the right decision. That's what me and you need. We need that spiritual discernment and the boldness that will make the right decisions for the Lord. And so, you know, he wasn't willing to compromise the false value for the true value. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, "For we know that if our earthly houses of this tabernacle are dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And we know this. And so, you know, he gave up some things, but he gained some things as well. Spiritually he did. And we know that in the Bible, and I won't take the time to go into all that, but the famous parable in the Bible in Luke chapter 12, where the man had so much, he had so much plenty, that he didn't know what to do. He was going to tear down his barns and build new ones, and he just had this great plan. He chose riches. He didn't choose the things of God. He put his eyes on himself, and he seen all that he had. And we see other accounts in the Bible. We know that I can't remember his name. I should have had that in my notes. Help me, Jason. The one that God turned him into an animal. The Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, thank you for that. Hey, listen. He got out there. You know what happened to him? He got out there and got the big head one day and walked out on his patio out there and said, "Man, oh man, look at all this kingdom I've made right here." Boy, I tell you, God put him in his place. God put him in his place. But here, this man in this account in Luke, he's in the same shape. He's looking at everything. He doesn't trust God in that. He's not praising God for his blessing. He's looking all at what he's done, and he's got this big plan. He's just going to tear it up, down and build him some more. And God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?" And so that's why the Bible teaches. Me and you can't get caught up with laying up treasures on earth. We've got to lay them, the things up in heaven which are above, where they can't be corrupted, where they're not going to rust, where they're not going to burn up. And the Bible says, and it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek ye the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so, you know what Moses was doing when he made these decisions? He was thinking in his hand, he was anticipating the rewards that he was going to get from serving God. He knew the journey was going to be rough. He knew that. But he decided he was going to serve God anyway, because he knew that there was going to be heavenly rewards for it. Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Well, I can sum that up real easy. It will be worth it all. That's what the Bible's saying. Can't be compared. And so we see here that he has a... So there's always an outcome, always an end or a result for the decisions that we make. For every action that we take, there is a reaction. That's why it's so important that when we come up on the crossroads of life, that we, me and you, make the right decisions. And, you know, these decisions that Moses made, what did it do? It put him in a position where we know him as one of the greatest Bible characters in the Bible. A man we is known, a man of faith and a man of decision, all because he made the right choices. And turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34, we'll start reading in verse 29. Exodus 34:29. "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And when Aaron and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shined, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. You see, when he went up there, Moses is up on the mountain here, and God's feeding him everything. He gives him the tablets that's got the Ten Commandments on it, and God is telling him how to build the tabernacle, giving him the law. He's telling him every minute detail. I don't know how you can read the first five chapters of the Bible and not know that God fed all that to him. There's too much detail there. Man's not smart enough to make up all that. All the way down to what would be inscribed on the buttons on the priest's garment. He gave it all to him. And he comes down, and the Bible says that his face was shining. Not because he come down with a handful of gold and the reflection was gold was shining in his face. No, he was shining because he'd been in the presence with the Lord. And they took notice of that. They seen that. And, you know, what happened was, hey, his decisions put him in a position where he could get close to God. That's what it did. Because he made the right decisions. And it put him in a position where Moses could reach heaven. Moses was a man that could get to the heart of God. We can prove that, you know. When you remember when he came down out of the mountains, Joshua was with him, or Joshua met him. I believe Joshua met him halfway. Joshua didn't go all the way up with him, but he picked Joshua up on the way down, and they come down. He said, "What is that I hear down there? Sound like a cry of war." Boy, when he got down there, he seen the mischief that the children of Israel got into, how they took the gold and they melted it down and was worshiping a graven image. And we see that, and Moses got angry with that. But what did he do? God said this. He said, Moses, he's up there with Moses, and he says, "Moses, depart from me, for my wrath waxed hot toward the children of Israel, that I might consume them." And Moses said, "God, please don't do that." He said, "You do that, at least the Pharaoh will think you brought us out here in the wilderness to slay us." And so God, listen, God had a heart for Moses. Did he change God's mind? No. But he heard the righteous prayers of a righteous man, and it moved God. And God said, "Okay, I'll not do that." We know there's other times God got mad, and God said, "I tell you what," said Moses, "you go on and take the children of Israel. I'm not going with them." What did Moses say? Moses said, "God, if you're not going, I'm not going." That's what he said. Listen, he had enough sense to know he couldn't do that job without God. He knew that. And so we see here that a lot of the things, the stand that Moses took, I guarantee you those people that said, "Man, you're a fool to do this, to take on the Pharaoh like this." But he made a choice. He made a choice that no matter what, he was just going to follow God. He was going to stand by the Lord. We know that there was a time there that when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he takes Peter, James, and John up there, and we know that Elijah and Moses shows up there too. And boy, I tell you, that shows you just how close he was to God. That he had that kind of relationship with God. And we see that he appeared to them on that mount, and the Lord was talking to him. But the question tonight is, are you in a crossroad in your life? Personally, I don't know what you're going through. But a lot of us, listen, we'll run up on crossroad after crossroad. That'll happen. And the decisions that we make not only affect us, but the decisions that me and you make will affect those around us. As a spiritual leader, as the husband and the father of my family, I can make a bad decision that will cost my family dearly. It could happen that way. As a church, listen, it's a simple fact. We're in a crossroad of decision right now. We've got some choices to make. Listen, I'm talking about as individuals. As individuals, we've got to decide. I'm going to be faithful to God, or I'm going to quit. You know, a lot of churches, when they get in a situation with that, you know what happens? A lot of people quit God. They get discouraged. Oh, they may have good intentions. They may say, "Well, I'm just not happy right now. I don't want to hang around here while they're looking for a pastor." And they'll have intentions of going somewhere. But a lot of times you'll find them out of church. They get away from here, and they may not find nothing fundamental right off the bat. Next thing you know, they're out of church. I'm just telling you, church, this ain't the time to quit God. This is a time for us to be faithful. We've got a choice. Hey, we've got to make up our mind. Are we going to support this ministry right here, or are we going to scatter? It's a choice. I can't make that choice for you. I'm going to make my choice. I'm going to side with God, and I'm going to side with God's people. That's what I'm planning on doing. exactly what I plan on doing. Listen, we got to decide this too, that we're going to step our service up to the Lord so that we can keep this ministry on tack, or we can just have a lazy attitude and say, that's all right, let somebody else do it. Can I tell you, if you look around here right now, there's a lot of people stepping up and moving into places that they're not comfortable with, that they've not done before, but they're doing it for the glory of God. Why? They're making righteous choices because they don't want to see this. They don't want to see this ministry get hurt. Listen, we've got great people here. We are a fundamental Bible-believing church. This is the authority of God's Word right here, and we believe it and we stand on it. If we'll stay with that, hey, we're going to be all right. This is not a time for us to get discouraged, but it is a time of decision that we decide what we're going to do as individuals. Are we going to be faithful and patient to pray for this pulpit committee that they will find the will of God? Can I tell you, the toughest job that I've ever done in a church ever was serve on pulpit committees. I've done that twice. Hardest thing I ever did. And let me tell you why it's so hard. I could go out here in 30 days and line you up a dozen men that are good men, that can preach the gospel, that stand on this book right here, that's biblically qualified to pastor this church. But finding the will of God, that's the hard part. Finding the right man, the one that God wants here. And see, so what you need to do, pray now. Start praying now. That God will put godly spiritual men here that will get alone and get close to God and will be in one accord, and that not only will they find a qualified man of God that believes this book right here and believes what we believe, but we'll find the right man of God that God wants in this place, that will not miss the call of God. That's not going to happen unless you've got godly men seeking God. You know what 90% what a pulpit committee will do? They'll pray. They'll pray. The closest I've ever been to God is when I served pulpit committees, because I was desperate and I needed God's help. I didn't want to miss the will of God. You know why? Because the choices that we make as a church is going to affect my family. It's going to affect me personally. It's going to affect your family. Hey, it's going to affect this church. It's going to affect the spiritual well-being of this county. Because we're going to be, listen, our desire is to be a lighthouse in this county. We're not going to stop now. We're still going to keep doing what we've been doing. We're still going to knock doors. We're still going to go out and win souls. We're still going to preach the truth out of God's Word. And if we'll just make the right choices, guess what? It'll be worth it all. God's going to bless that thing. We'll look back on this thing one day, and we can just rejoice and say, praise God, look how good God is. Look how God's blessed us. We've got a shepherd that we love and is leading us in the right direction. That's what will happen. But we've got to make the right choices. Are you willing to be faithful to do that? To lift up in prayer this need here. And so, you know, the future is dependent on that. Choose wisely. Choose well the choices that you make. You think about it. We look at the bad road, the bad decisions that we make. I think about King Saul. What a waste there. God had full intentions of Saul reigning over the children of Israel his entire life. But what happened to him? He made some bad choices, and it messed him up. It cost him his kingdom. Eventually cost him his life. Hey, listen, God's road, is it going to be easy? No, God's road's going to be bumpy sometimes. It's going to be rough. That's just the way it is. But it will. And listen, if we'll stay on God's road, it will be worth it all. I promise you that. And so, you know, but the thing is, if we get down the wrong road, it won't be worth it. Hey, it might look good at first. Hey, what that bad road looks like at first? It looks like an eight-lane interstate with no traffic on it. That's what it looks like at first. But can I tell you, it quickly goes down to two lanes and one lane. Then it turns into a dirt road, and then it turns into old rutted-up road, and then at the end of it is nothing but a big old cliff that you're going to run off on. That's what that bad road's going to do. See, the thing is, we get off on that bad road, and you know what happens to us? Next thing you know, we're in the ditch. Oh, we've got so far off of God's road, and we're so far out there that we don't even know how to get ourselves back now. We're all turned around and we're lost. Hey, going down that wrong road, I don't care how good it looks like, it will never be worth it. It never will be. You'll wind up with eternal regrets if you go down that wrong road. Bad choices get us off the road and get us in trouble. But can I tell you, listen, in life, this is a good thing about my God. Sometimes we may make bad choices, but you know God's always got a way back. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, there's always a way back. But friend, there is no shortcut. You're not going to cut across that chasm there to get to it. See what happens is when we mess up on God, you know how to fix that thing? We got to go back. We got to go back to where we messed it up. That's what we got to do. And we got to go back there and fix it. That's why that story in the Bible, when they were heading into Jordan and they told them to go down and hew down some beams so they could make, you know, some places for them to dwell in. And the one fellow was chopping down the tree and the axe head fell off. And when he cried out because it was barred, it wasn't even his. And he did that and the man of God said this. He said, "Where fell it?" See, we've got to go back to where we messed up and fix it. See, if we'll do that, hey, if we're God's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we got to go back to that point and fix that. And then God will lead us right back down on that next road. Listen, what's our decision today? Which road are you going to take? The choice is yours. But we're constantly going to be faced with crossroads of decisions. And the choices we make are essential. Because we wind up doing the same. We have to do the same thing Moses did. We get to places in life when we've got to go one way or the other. We can choose the world, we can choose self, or we can choose the things of God. Choosing the ways of God is much more rewarding. We can identify ourselves with God's people, or we can identify ourselves with the world. The choice is ours. But the best road is always the road that goes with the Lord and His righteousness. And I'm glad that God always leaves a way back when we stray. He has no shortcut, but we can always get back. You think about those that are lost. It's possible tonight, most everybody looks like home folk, but it's possible tonight we got somebody in God's house that doesn't know the Lord, that's lost. And see their actions, and what they'll do is they'll come and they'll send under the gospel, and a man of God will tell them how to be saved and tell them that they must, you know, feel bad about their sins and ask God to forgive them and come trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved. But they'll reject that and they'll make a bad choice. But by rejecting that, listen, for that day they set themselves up. It's an eternal decision. You're here lost tonight and you walk out these doors. Listen, if you don't make it home tonight, the decision, when you said no to God, that could be an eternal decision for you tonight. Don't do it. Hey, if God's tender in your heart, if you're under conviction about getting saved or getting right with God, you're at a crossroads right now. God says, "All right, here you are. Which way are you going? You're going to choose the right way? You're going to choose the high road? Are you going to choose the other way?" See, because if we choose Christ, we receive the eternal blessings of God. Listen, I'm saved not because something I did, but all because what Christ did. I just accepted that free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just took God at His word. God said, if you'll ask me to forgive you of your sins, and if you'll be sincere about that, and if you'll believe that I died for your sins and rose the third day, and I'm at the right hand of the Father God making intercession on your behalf, I'll save your soul. I said, "God, I believe that," and He saved me. Wasn't anything I'd done. What did I do? I made a good choice that day. I came to a crossroad. Can I tell you, I was at that road more than once. I'm fortunate that God didn't turn me over to a reprobate because of the times that I rejected God. I was right there at the crossroads. God had already convicted my heart, and I already knew I needed to do something, and I continued to reject God. And you know what? That bad choice. Listen, if I'd have got hit by a dump truck hauling gravel, got T-boned, and got killed, I'd have busted hell wide open, knowing better. But I'd have went to hell because I made a bad choice. I was at a crossroad, and I knew what to do, but I didn't do it. But praise God, when God got a hold of me, I made the right choice. And I have them eternal blessings of God. And so, You know, I don't know where you're at today. Friend, it may be something not related to anything I preach. Maybe you're going through some kind of a valley or some kind of a burden that only you and God knows about. And now you find yourself at a crossroad in life and you've got a decision to make. Christian, choose it well. Because your future and your family's future and the future of your church rides on the decisions that we make. What's your decision going to be today? Let's stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Musician, come play something softly. No one looking around, please.